I am the light.
I am the light.
I am the light.
I am the light.
I am the light. I am the light. For my world is truly illumined. For my world is what I am. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I am the light because the world is what I am. The world is a reflection of what I'm thinking about myself. Now, no, I'm not thinking about myself as being limited in any way. Ellen likes it when I get excited. She likes it when I turn up the tempo. She likes it when I talk more powerfully and more dynamically and more wonderfully, because she doesn't have to listen too hard then. It's much easier to hear. Now, Ellen is my reflection. I am the light, and she is my reflection. That means that she is not a 20-watt, 40-watt, 60-watt, 100-watt, 200-watt bulb, but a 5,000-watt bulb. Very brilliant. Now, have you ever stood in the presence of a 5,000-watt bulb like they have at the stadiums? They're quite large. Have you ever stood in it? And what happens? The bulb is shining here, and you're standing here. You're talking to somebody, and then they walk away from you while you're talking to someone else, and they walk toward the light. And as they walk toward the light, the closer they get to the light, the more they seem to disappear, until finally you can't see them at all. They have merged in the light. Now, to all outward appearances, they have merged in the light. Now, they see themselves. People near them see them. But the closer they get to the light, the more they merge with it, and the less we can see them. And of course, if we can't see them, as far as we're concerned, they're invisible. So, when you say, I am the light, what kind of a light are you? Are you the kind of light that can shine so brightly that all imperfections are invisible? They are washed away by the brightness of your light? Can you do that, Ingeborg? The answer is yes. Anything is possible. My God. Anything is possible. Ingeborg, when I say to you, Ingeborg, would you like to have $1,000,000? And your answer is?
Everything is.
No, she thinks it's thoughtful. No, I'll consider it. Ingeborg, I think we're going to start you out at the Art and Science of Wholeness again. We're going to get you going with the beginning courses where you say yes to everything. Yes to everything. Yes to everything. Yes to everything. Yes, I will go with you someday. Yes, I will accept that job when I'm ready for it. Yes, you know, all these are conditional yeses, but yes. And then you put your condition on. But always say yes. Because what happens the minute you say yes?
Everything is open.
The discussion's over. There's nothing more for them to argue with you about, to prove, because you've already said yes. Now, on your terms. We always say yes on our terms. Are you a naughty person? Yes. In your eyes, perhaps?
In your eyes.
But in my eyes, I am divine. I am God. I am the creative cause of my universe. And that's all that matters. Now, have you ever noticed how when some people blow their nose and when they sneeze, they want to look at their handkerchief to see if they've sneezed up some phlegm or if they've blown some schnooter out of their nose? Have you ever noticed how people do that sometimes? Now, think of it. Now, we say how garish, you know, how gauche, how improper. But no, really, it's not so improper. Have you ever watched another person pick their nose?
Yeah.
And when you're alone, you pick your nose. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, when you're with somebody, you don't do that because it's improper. Now, what makes it improper to do that? You know, what makes it improper to do that? Well, there are certain things that you think are improper. Yes, Michaela? Mickey? Do you think a baby thinks it's improper to pick its nose?
No.
Not at all. Do you think that a child thinks it's improper to pick their nose, basically?
No.
No. When do they start thinking it's improper to pick their nose?
When they're told it's improper.
When they're told by their parents or by their teachers that that's not a good thing to do. That's not a good thing to do. Now, how long will they keep doing it? Probably all their life. They'll do it privately. Now, why are we so uptight about picking our nose? Why are we so uptight about things like that? Why are we so uptight about polishing your fingernails at the dinner table? Or combing your hair? Yeah? Why are we so uptight about all these little interesting things that we have made into a fetish for ourselves? We're uptight about them because that's what our society is taught. Now, before society taught you that, there's nothing wrong. Do you think it's naughty or gauche for a little baby to pick its nose? No. Do you think it's terrible for a little baby to suck on his toe? But if some big person came in here and sat there sucking on his toe, you'd say, yuck, yucky poo, huh?
I'd say it's always the same thing.
It's always the same thing. You see, we are always judging. We are always having attitudes about things. And as long as we have attitudes about things, things are going to be difficult to get along with. If you were living on a desert island, how would you feel? How would you feel if you were living on a desert island? What would you do if you had a chance to live on a desert island? Would you not pick your nose? Would you wear clothing on a desert island when there's nobody to wear the clothing for except yourself? You might wear it to keep the sun off of you or to keep yourself from being cold or something like that, but what would you wear the clothing for? And why would you have your Sunday going to meeting clothing different from your everyday clothing? And why would you have your work clothing different from your play clothing? Why would you do this? And you would, because that's the way you've been brought up. That's why even now, they had a story of two little children who grew up on a desert island by themselves. And the children were taught to wear clothing, and so they wore clothing, basically. Now, they didn't wear clothing because they needed to wear clothing, but they wore clothing because that's what they were taught. They were taught by the pirate who brought them there, because the kids were running around naked, and the pirate says, "Have you no shame? Have you no? You should." A shame of what? You see, we build all these attitudes in our mind, in our activity, and we live by them. These are what are called our attitudes that we have from the training of our parents, the training of our society, and the training of our world. Now, I've said many times, and I'll always say, if you are living your life to be yourself and have fun, you will never do any naughty things. If you are living your life to be yourself and have fun, and being yourself and having fun, you will always be harmonious with everyone. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because what you will do, now point a finger, what you will do, you will create a world filled with people who think just like you do. You will be the creator of your world by your thought. You'll be the creator of all who populate your world, all resident in your world by your thought. You'll create them, and they will have the same attitudes you do, the same feelings you do. You may never have told them these attitudes or feelings, but they will be an exact replica of you. Now, how can people be a replica of us if we have not outwardly told them something? If we have not told them what our values are? If we have not told them what our attitudes are about things? How could anyone be an exact replica of us? And the answer is so powerful, but so simple. All is thought. If you think your thought, as we would say before, the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. As you think your thought, you reveal what already exists. Now, all of these people already have in their mind that whatever thought you have in your mind. So, if you realize that, and you expect that way, I think you have read every book that I have read. And then you know what happens? He is literate. He is vocal in speaking about any book that I've read. He knows it. Now, I wouldn't put that on anybody else, because I have read a lot of books that I've thrown out. I've read a lot of books that at the moment were charming, and then I thought, yeah, yuck, that's not really me. People want to read the books that brought me to the philosophy where I am, all the books in unity and religious science and the Congregational Church and the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church and everywhere that I went and all the studies that I did, and they want to get into it, including God Unlimited, and they want to read everything that I read. And I said, okay, but that's no guarantee it's going to take you to where I am today. Now, where I am today, I like to think, is what the university is today. So if you just look at me and see how I act, see how I live, see how I speak, see how I share myself, then that's who I am today. And if that's the type of person you want to be, forget the past. Live in the present in what I am today. Now, if I look at you and I say, wow, what an outstanding person you are, and I want to be like you, I don't read what brought you there. I just look at you and I say, I like you. I like your attitude. I like your thinking. I like your nowness. And so as we work with the now, as we work with these attitudes, as we work with believing who and what we are who and what we are. No greater illumination could be given to us than to be who and what we are. Now, Ingeborg, who are you? And Ingeborg answers, I am number one. I am God. I am the completion of all that's good, correct?
Yes.
See how? Yes. See? Yes. And all the rest of you, I could say the same thing. Are you God?
Yes.
Are you in charge of your world?
Yes. Yes.
Did you create your world?
Yes.
All the good that's in it?
Yes.
All the good that's in it?
Yes.
All the good that's in it?
Yes.
There's no bad. All the good that's in it. That's all that you created. Now, some people might call something that you did bad, but not in your presence, not in your awareness. That's why I can say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me in my thought, in my world. And so I look at the world and I see it at peace. I go to Nigeria, and they have just gone through some turmoils, and I say, all is in balance, all is peace. I walk out of the country, and I'm gone from the country for about 2 minutes, and all of a sudden, they start shooting people, one group of people against another group. And so the minute I hear about it, I say, peace, peace, peace. And believe it or not, the shooting stopped. All the anxiety stopped. One fellow came up to me, a Muslim, and he attempted to say that he should speak where I'm speaking. Well, now, I should have been scared of him. Mm-hmm. He was a very tough-looking fellow. And I said, sir, you can have your own platform. I rented this one, you rent yours. He said, no, I want yours. And I said, what do you believe? Do you believe in the teachings of Muhammad? Do you believe in the teachings of the Muslims? Is that your faith? Well, they are not discourteous people. They are not a people who are going to go around destroying other people. They are people of love. Now, it's true, some of them have not followed the teachings of the Master, but generally, they're teaching of love. And that's the way it should be. Now, he said to me, he said, Herb, I stand up in your presence and I take my cap off. Always he had to stand up in my presence and put his cap on, representing his Muslimship, you know. A fine fellow. Fine newspaper journalist for the Muslims. And he followed me all over Nigeria to be in all the pictures with me, wherever I was on the newspaper or television or whatever. But, hey, that's cool. That's cool. But I created him beautiful. He wanted to slit my throat. And I said, hey, cool. You're wonderful. Your teachings don't allow that sort of thing, really. It's only the people who are terrorists, the people who are out of sync with society, they're the ones. And I don't know terrorists. I don't know out of sync people. I don't know people who are not harmonious with all that is. And you see, this is where you are. Are you ready? Ingeborg says, whatever I can imagine, whatever I can think about, whatever I can imagine, whatever my imagination brings to me, I can imagine anything. And Ingeborg says, I imagine everything. And Sylvie says, that's easy. That's easy to imagine the world as beautiful as I am, because Ingeborg knows that Sylvia is a pure example of unconditional love, right?
Yes.
A pure example of unconditional love. And what does she do? Sylvia goes around the world being unconditional love, and that's all she creates in her world. That's all. All of you are so much unconditional love, you don't know where to begin. So, that's the principle. Live it, love it, and enjoy it. Remember, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is harmony in the world, unconditional love, and it began with me. There now are beautiful people in my life, and it began with my thought of who they are, what they are, and why they are. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Peter Holland.
I love you.